Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now.
For Amanda's family, for Gina's family, for Michelle's family, prayers have finally been answered. The nightmare is over. These three young ladies have provided us with the ultimate definition of survival and perseverance. The healing can now begin.
FBI Special Agent Steve Anthony at a press conference today where a lineup of Cleveland and Ohio officials took questions about the three women who escaped their 10-year abduction. And as one of those officials said, yes, law enforcement officers do cry. Police say Amanda Berry, Gina DeJesus, and Michelle Knight were in their early teens or 20s when they were snatched. They'd been held captive in a house near downtown Cleveland until last night when Amanda Berry managed to escape with the help of a neighbor and after a call to 911.
You need police, fire, or ambulance?
I need police.
Okay, and what's going on there?
I've been kidnapped, and I've been missing for 10 years, and I'm here. I'm free now.
Police say the 6-year-old child found in the home is Amanda's daughter. Her homecoming will be bittersweet. Her mother died in 2006 after 3 years of looking for her. Three brothers in their 50s have been arrested in this case. Let's bring in David C. Barnett. He's with WCPN in Cleveland. David, as everyone now well knows, this is incredible. These three women were just a short distance from their own homes. What's it been like in Cleveland's West Side, where they lived before the abduction?
This took place about 3 miles from the home of Gina DeJesus. That's where I've been hanging out all morning, and everyone is just so happy. I talked to her brother, and he says he's been cruising on about a half hour sleep over the past 30 hours.
Sure.
There's, you know, the Mylar balloons with hearts and princess tiaras and smiley faces and even a welcome home on the front sidewalk.
Well, Gina DeJesus was 14 when she vanished. Michelle Knight disappeared in 2002 at the age of 20. She's 32 now. Amanda Berry disappeared at 16 in 2003. You say you were at the home, and we know the aunt, Gina's aunt, came out, Sandra Ruiz.
Right.
She spoke with reporters. Here's a little bit of what she had to say after searching so long for her niece.
Those girls, those women are so strong. What we do out here, what we've done in 10 years, is nothing compared to what those women have done together to survive.
David,
you notice what she said up front there? She said, those girls, those women.
Yeah.
This is how long they've been gone. They were girls when they left, and now they're women, and it's hard for the family to even come to grips with that.
What more are they saying about that, David?
In terms of the family?
Yeah, and their feelings. I mean, have they learned anything from these young women about how this happened? Obviously, they were locked in that house.
No.
But
I mean, at this point, it's just kind of, we are so relieved to have them back. They seemed to be okay. They were, you know, it wasn't like they were in PTSD mode or anything like that. They were talking, they were communicating and loving each other and that sort of thing. But we just don't know details at this point of how this happened.
Well, it's fascinating because, David, back in 2008, you were reporting on a string of murders and possibly a serial
A serial killer, yeah. Anthony Soule, who's been convicted of that.
Right. At the time, you were reporting on what were the possibilities, and you spoke then with the family of Gina DeJesus about what it was like to be searching for a missing child. So you obviously, people in the area know these people, you know them, and you've seen them. What have they kept these stories in the public's eye?
Specifically, the DeJesus family has kept this story alive. The mother has been on a campaign that every year there was a march. Every year they put telephone posters on the telephone poles. And I talked to her, you know, when this was only 5 years, the kidnapping was 5 years. In that time, she says, I know my baby is still alive, you know, and she never gave up.
Well, so meanwhile, there's just it's a bizarre story in and of itself, but there are chilling tangents off of it. We understand of the three brothers arrested, Ariel Castro was said to own the home, and he was a Cleveland school bus driver. I'm sure that's sent chills through people.
Absolutely.
But also, Slate is reporting that his son, who was a journalism student, actually wrote a story about one of the missing girls, went to their home, visited with Gina DeJesus' family, and wrote a story. And a reporter from WKYC in New York tracked him down. He's now, he's older. He's not in school anymore. And she had to tell him that his father is the main suspect in the story that he wrote about of the family's missing child. This is bizarre.
It's totally bizarre, and nobody can believe it. I mean, the fact that this is it's so much like the Dugard situation or the Smart situation in California, where these young women were living and apparently with the children fathered by the kidnappers. We don't know that for sure, but that's where we're heading towards. Mm-hmm. And living in that neighborhood, and nobody knew that any of this was going on.
It's just amazing. Just a few seconds that we have, David. Sure. Obviously, people are in the moment right now, but are people also saying maybe we should be thinking about houses that look boarded up and unused? Are they thinking going forward?
You're living in a town, you're talking about a town that has a ton of vacancies and a ton of boarded up homes. I think people are always concerned about that, but there's just so many, and how can you check every single one?
David C. Barnett with WCPN in Cleveland, thanks so much.
Thanks, Robin.